This is an iHeart podcast.
Are they actually eating the dogs? We'll talk about why that might matter or not. We'll talk to Chip Roy tonight. Why wasn't there more culture stuff during the debate? All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Let's talk about ops, shall we? Operations, propaganda campaigns. This stuff matters because it affects all of us. You, me, all of us. We see these all around us. Sometimes we notice them. Sometimes we don't notice them. And we're going to bring this back to politics in a moment. The left, the right, how they handle them, how we handle them. But ops, operations. What do these look like? Well, you ever seen an ad on television for Pizza Hut? Maybe they're advertising some new cheesy bread or something like that. And you're watching the football game and you see a cheesy bread ad and you think, ooh, that looks good. And then maybe you're online, Facebook or something, and you're looking and you go, ooh, cheesy bread. Hey, honey, should we get Pizza Hut? That kind of thing ever happened to you? That's an op. Remember, they're not all nefarious. They're not all wrong. That's Pizza Hut dedicating however much money, we'll call it $1 million, to an ad campaign promoting their new cheese sticks so they can advertise it to you, beam it into your brain, and get you to do something. They want you to do something for them. Buy cheesy bread. They run the op. You get manipulated, even though you know you are. You'll know, oh, wow, that ad really works. And you call and you order some cheesy bread from Pizza Hut. Don't know why you do that, but either way, that's an op. They're all around us. Ops are all around us. And we see them in politics all the time. The difference between politics and Pizza Hut is this, though. When you, or me, it happens to me all the time, when you fall for a Pizza Hut op, I'll point to me, Little Caesars has a new thin crust pizza. I'm a big Little Caesars fan, and me and the boys got it the other day. It was fantastic, I should note. I knew I had an op run on me. I knew I had watched it in a TV commercial, and I knew it was advertising, and I knew they had done it, but I still ordered it anyway. But when it comes to politics, because it's more important and because it means more to you and it means more to me, oftentimes we can't recognize an op. When you get emotional about something, it's harder to see clearly, to think clearly. It's why you, me, we can't ever be honest about our kids, can we? You ask me about my sons, I tell you they're the best, sweetest, most polite, smartest young men in history. Of course they're not. They're wonderful young men, but in my eyes they are. I can't see clearly. I love them too much. Politics is this way. Now, recently, let's just discuss the most recent one, but this isn't about what happened recently. This is about how we think about everything else going forward. Recently, the right was running an op. What was the op? Haitian immigrants, foreigners in Springfield, Ohio, are eating people's pets. That's the op. You have seen something about it. You've heard something about it. Freaking Donald Trump brought it up the other night during the debate.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
So this is an op that has gained legs, ground. The former president of the United States is bringing it up on national television. And remember, just because it's an op, an operation by the right, that doesn't mean it's inaccurate. Ops can be very accurate. Little Caesars told me their thin crust pizza was delicious, and they were correct. It was delicious. Ops, just because we use that word, doesn't mean it's nefarious and wrong. Horrible things are happening in Springfield, Ohio. We have all kinds of firsthand accounts. This was really the guy who introduced the whole they're eating the animals thing.
They're in the park grabbing up ducks by their neck and cutting their head off and walking off with them and eating them like.
They're cutting off the ducks' heads in the park? They're eating them? Seems bad, right? He's not the only one who said it. Okay, so from there, the right ran it up. We're upset about open borders. We're upset about unending immigration. We're very angry about what this evil government is doing to our country and our citizens. And we want to lay blame at the feet of the people who have earned that blame, Democrats. And so we're running an op against them so the American people will know it's their fault. Okay, that's an op. We're running an op. It was a successful op. Trump's even talking about it. But let's discuss the left's response to an op versus our response to an op. You see, not only did the moderators jump all over Trump during the debate to try to fact check him in real time. Well, we spoke to the city manager and no one said their dog was eating. Not only did the moderators do it, you've seen leftist after leftist, media person after politician after media person after politician immediately lock shields, stand shoulder to shoulder with each other and fight back against the right-wing op. You had Eric Swalwell practically crying about cat memes on the House floor.
What in the hell is this? The chairman tweets, protect our ducks and kittens in Ohio because he goes down some crazy rabbit hole, completely debunked that aliens are eating pets? My God, are you okay, Mr. Chairman?
That's an op, all right? And that's how they responded to the op. Immediate, universal locking of shields, fighting back against our op. I will ask you this. I've asked you this kind of thing before, but I'll ask you this. You consume this stuff all the time, same way I do. You understand politics and issues, and you're reading this and watching that. You do. Name me. You can send me an email. Name me one left-wing pundit or politician who has taken part in the rights op. Name me one. Name me one person on TV, radio, maybe a big writer, maybe a congressman somewhere. Name me one who has said something even benign. Like, well, I mean, there are bad things happening in Springfield. We should acknowledge that as Democrats. Can you name me one? You can't, because they don't exist, because there hasn't been one. And what is the end result of that? The end result of that is when the right runs an op and they immediately lock shields and dig their feet in, our op, it can go far and it can go wide. It won't go near as far as it would have been because they, by playing defense, have blocked our momentum and the story will fade in the end. Now, look at the left's ops. They run them all the time. They're almost always despicable and awful. Look at the left. Look at the ops they run. Now, pick your op. It doesn't matter what it is. We could do COVID. We could do the most recent Russian hoax thing. Right-wingers are being paid by Russia. We could look at any of them. Look at George Floyd. Remember, maybe this is the best example of it. Remember when George Floyd, some scumbag drug dealer, died in Minneapolis? He died of an overdose. We know that. Medical examiner now. The left, though, watching this, realized they had an opportunity to run an op. What was that opportunity? Well, they hate America. They think it's an evil, racist place. They wanted to defund the police. They wanted to set criminals free so they could rape and murder people. The communists have always wanted that. They understood the death of George Floyd gave them that opportunity. And so they immediately launched an op. Media, Hollywood, politician after politician. George Floyd, St. George Floyd, I love him. What did you see from the right? How many right-wingers, politicians and pundits, did the Mitt Romney thing.
Hey, Senator, why is it important for you to be out here today?
We need a voice against racism. We need many voices against racism and against brutality. We need to stand up and say that Black Lives Matter.
It wasn't just Mitt Romney. So don't roll your eyes and say, well, of course, Mitt Romney. It was more than I can possibly count. You had Republican after Republican. Well, we do need a law enforcement roundtable. They dragged poor Tim Scott out there. Maybe we do need federal police reform. Right-winger after right-winger after right-winger took part in the left-wing op. Didn't lock shields, didn't dig in, took part in the left-wing op. How did that op go for them? An unbelievable success if you're a communist demon who wants to burn down America. American cities uninhabitable now, police departments emptying out, white people being oppressed all over this system legally in this country. Sorry, no more white people. We only hire blacks and some. That was the result of their op because we helped them do it. We can't win like this. We cannot win if we continue to take part in their ops and hold back our ops. And remember, this whole what's happening in Springfield, Ohio thing is happening all over the country, and it is an evil from the pit of hell. You are a taxpayer. The federal government, your own government, is taking your money. They're flying foreigners into your country, into your town with your money. They're giving them homes, they're giving them welfare, they're giving them jobs. While you can't afford eggs, the United States government is taking money from you and handing it to foreigners. Listen to this homeless advocate in Springfield, Ohio.
You know, the homeless problem. I don't know of a single homeless Haitian in this town because they all got vouchers. But I can show you a whole bunch of people that have been displaced. They want you to come up with a solution to why they're displaced. Why they lived in a house, I personally know, and I'll testify under oath, my hand to God, somebody that lost their house. They were there 7 years. The landlord said, hey, I need you to move out, find a temporary place. I'm going to remodel it, and then you can come back.
Thank you, Baron.
It was a lie. They moved him out, tripled the rent.
Thank you.
Follow
thank you for
the money.
And you're paying for it with the money the government steals from you. It's an op and an important one, and we should keep talking about it. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Chip Roy, he's trying to do something about what they're doing to this country, and we will discuss him, we'll discuss that, we'll discuss the budget stuff, we're gonna discuss a bunch of things with Chip Roy in a moment. Before we do that, that was heavy, so let's laugh for a moment. Let's laugh thinking about Matt Walsh's new movie, Am I Racist? Matt Walsh goes undercover as a DEI operative, a DEI guy. And of course, he has to have a man bun he puts on his head. And he goes and talks to these commie nutballs about how racist he is and America is and they are. And it's just, it's pants sweating funny. And it's better than that. It's good for the whole family. And Hollywood's starting to get very, very frustrated with the fact that we are making good movies now. Go support it. Go pre-order some tickets. Take the whole fam. It's good for the kids. It's fun. It's fun. It's informative. It's awesome. AmIRacist.com is where you go get those tickets. Go get some. We'll be back. Well, the bad news is the House of Representatives is meeting again, but it looks like we have a week of delay before they inevitably pass the continuing resolution, which in and of itself is a scandal, you should note, to unload more and more of your money without cutting a single dime to import mass amounts of foreigners and fund the FBI who's destroying your liberty. But maybe I'm wrong about all that. Let's check with Chip on it. Joining me now, one of the best congressmen we have, Congressman Chip Roy of the great state of Texas. Well, Chip, did I miss anything there?
Just you pretty much summed it up. We can go ahead and just shut the show down. You nailed it. Now, look, it's never good when Congress is again, right? Everyone hide your wallets and run away in fear as to what Congress is going to do to them. But look, we came into September believing that we could and should pick a fight both on spending to at least freeze spending until the new year, take the pen away from Democrats in December, but also importantly, alongside that, fight for the SAVE Act. We had some disagreements about how to do that, some disagreements about whether that would work. So now it looks like we're probably going to end up just doing what we do all the time, which is kicking the can down the road and having CR into December.
Okay, so the SAVE Act thing disappeared like a fart in the wind. Do I have that right?
Yep. So we're still going to allow non-citizens to vote in American elections because we're not going to do anything about it.
Okay, Chip, you and I, we've had this talk. The audience has seen us have this talk a bunch. You're frustrated. I'm frustrated. They're frustrated. But Where is the balance of power right now with Republicans in the House of Representatives? And this is what I mean. How many of the low-T GOP losers do we have to get rid of before we can actually start doing things with teeth? Because everyone doesn't suck. There are some great people there. What's the balance of power like?
Well, this is the fundamental problem, right? We've got the decision makers predominantly are the defense complex. Now, you're a veteran. You know that we need to have a strong military, peace through strength. But that's not what the debate is always about. It's always about how much money can be shoveled out while we continue to engage in endless wars that we've been in for now two decades, almost 25 years, the entire century. So you've got hawks, you got people that say they want to protect America, but instead we end up with what? 75,000 injured, 7,500 dead, $7 trillion. And now we have 9-year-old girls getting sold into marriage, and we've got Afghanistan. We just abandoned and walked away from Bagram. What did we get out of all that? So I hate saying that because of the men and women that you served alongside. I hate saying that. But the leaders of this country are basically selling something that's fake, and then they'll use defense to sell us out. So right now, we can't get an agreement on spending levels because our hawks say, no, we got to spend more on defense. And look, Jesse, I might agree. We might need new subs, new carriers. We might need new equipment. But unless you root out the woke garbage, unless you stop, increasing the bureaucracy, taking away our freedoms, and unless you secure the border of the United States, what in the hell are you building a defense to defend in the first place? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, for some reason, that's a very good point, Chip. For some reason, I don't think the newest DEI general who hates my guts and everything I stand for should be given a nuclear attack sub. In fact, I have some concerns about that.
I mean, that's actually a really good question. And so bringing it back to your point about where the breakdown is, I'm going to just roughly ballpark for you. Half the conference are beholden to the defense complex and doing whatever the appropriators and the war hawks want to do. Half the conference would like to change things, but only about half of that half are willing to do it. And only about half of that half of that half are willing to really throw down. And that's basically either your Freedom Caucus or sort of Freedom Caucus adjacent conservatives. So that's why you always have to have this conflict. And even we have differences and disagreements in strategy. Do we try to run a CR, which we hate, in order to force something like the SAVE Act? Then we get some disagreements, because the only fight going on for America is within the conservatives and the Freedom Caucus. Everybody else is just bending over and saying, thank you, sir, may I have another, to quote the great Animal House.
Chip, the border, obviously, I'm happy Springfield, Ohio, and their plight is in the news right now. That's a good thing, but it's obviously a lot more extensive than Springfield, Ohio. It's Texas, it's New York, it's LA, it's towns in Idaho. This is going on, and we're being assaulted by our federal government, Chip. And all these people, by the technical letter of the law, are not illegal. The federal government's taking our tax dollars, and they're flying and busing these people into the country legally. They're attacking us on purpose, Chip. We're under assault here.
Well, look, I think, President Trump obviously set out and laid out the key distinctions between him and Kamala Harris. It's not even close. And for anybody getting all wound up about any of that, they're crazy. But I do wish he had punched even harder at the debate. It's kind of a distraction, a shiny object, talking about the dogs and the geese and the cats and whatever the hell in Springfield. The real issue is you got 60,000 Americans whose grandparents, parents built that town. They live there. And now you have 20,000 Haitians dumped on the people of Springfield. But worse than that, yesterday we had a hearing in the Judiciary Committee. We had these wonderful women that were testifying who were moms who lost their loved ones. Alexis Nungre, whose daughter Jocelyn was bound, gagged, raped, murdered. She was 12 years old. Her mom went to sleep on a Sunday night and she woke up to her daughter being gone. And these two Venezuelans that were released by Kamala Harris. Let's be very blunt, Jesse. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Alejandro Mayorkas. They're the ones that released those two Venezuelans who killed Jocelyn Nungare. I could go down the list, the Lakin Rileys, the Kayla Hamiltons, the Rachel Morens, all of those people. The Peruvian who was in Buffalo, who was wanted in Peru for 23 murders. We released that guy into Roma, Texas, and he ends up in Buffalo. I flew out to Aurora last week. I was out there with Lauren Boebert. Yes, they are taking over those apartment complexes. The woman who is there, who's a tenant, is the one who put the camera on the door. She said, yes, they changed the locks. We didn't have a manager on duty because that manager was scared. So the gangs were basically running the apartment complexes. This is all happening in real time. Kamala Harris knows it. Joe Biden knows it. The radical progressive Democrats in Congress know it. We should quit pretending like we're ever going to sit down over a table and work crap out with these Marxists and communists who want to take our country away, and we should take our damn country back.
Chip, keep fighting, my brother. Thank you, as always. Appreciate you. Friggin' mess, isn't it? Well, hey, this is why we got to dig in and fight. It's also why we need to be well-rested. It's why you need to get some dream powder from Beam in your life. It's the best stuff in the world. It's the best, not because it puts you to sleep. There are lots of things that put you to sleep. Prescription, over-the-counter stuff, knock you right out. It's the waking that matters. It's when those eyes flutter open in the morning. Do you feel like $1 million, or do you feel like crap? Do you feel like you didn't sleep at all because you're heavy and groggy? Dream powder from Beam, you don't feel heavy, you don't feel groggy, you feel like you got the best night's sleep of your life and you're gonna conquer the day. Go get some dream powder, 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
They have abortion in the 9th month.
There is no state in this country where it is legal to kill a baby after it's born. Madam Vice President, I want to get your response to President Trump.
Well, as I said, you're going to hear a bunch of lies.
Well, that's great news. I thought that this was the thing that was happening, but now that I heard it's not on the debate, I guess all is well. Joining me now, Sean Carney, CEO of 40 Days for Life, and Heather Gardner, Director of the Campaign Advancement for 40 Days for Life. Okay, Heather, first of all, that was a lie, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a big lie from Kamala Harris.
Yeah, it sure was. Sean, okay, so when David Muir and Lindsay Lip injections lie like that, they know it's a lie, correct?
Who knows? I don't think it matters. It was a lie. These babies do die. They suffocate to death. We don't make this stuff up. Governor Northam, the governor of Virginia, at first Trump said West Virginia, but he corrected himself. I thought he did. This is one of the few places he actually did decently the other night in the debate. But he pointed that out, that Governor Northam of Virginia, who's a pediatrician himself, described the process in detail on a live radio show. Okay. And these babies are left to die. It goes both ways. You have botched abortions where the babies are left to die. And we know that that happens. That's well documented, although Governor Waltz in Minnesota removed the requirement to report those deaths. But we also have the other side, which are the abortion survivors who actually survive. People like Melissa Odin and Gianna Jessen, whose abortion doctor signed her birth certificate. So the outright denial of this is one of their many, I think, absurd reactions in a post-Roe America.
That is. Heather, here was Dome talking about abortion during the debate.
Understand, in his Project 2025, there would be a national abortion, a monitor that would be monitoring your pregnancies, your miscarriages. I think the American people believe that certain freedoms, in particular the freedom to make decisions about one's own body, should not be made by the government.
Thank you, Vice President Harris.
Well, there she goes again. It's a lie. I'm not signing a ban, and there's no reason to sign a ban.
Heather, obviously lines like that are designed to emotionally appeal to women. Does it work?
It works whenever you are conflating things, which is what they are intentionally doing to deceive many women. They want to conflate abortions with miscarriage. They want to conflate healthcare with miscarriage. All these claims that healthcare is being denied women across multiple states is a flat out lie. I'm a woman who lives in a state that protects unborn life from conception on. I have access to healthcare. This is a blatant lie in order to deceive people, to make them vote for abortion without apology, on demand, with no restrictions, with no guidance, no oversight whatsoever. And there is nothing healthy about this for women, and certainly not healthy for the children who are being aborted.
Sean, your new book, What to Say When To, it's about how to talk to people about this. How do we talk to people about this?
Well, you ask questions. I mean, one of the things I wish ABC would have asked, they did ask Kamala about abortion. She does believe in abortion through all 40 weeks. That's standard, you know, since 2019, when Cuomo lit up the Empire State Building and they took advantage of what Roe allowed up to 40 weeks. But she said the other night that she's against those late-term abortions, and I would ask her why. I mean, what's wrong with an abortion at 38 weeks? And we get into some of this stuff in What to Say When To in a post-Roe era where one side has really gone insane, and we have a lot of proven calm tactics to ask questions and get to the bottom of what was Dobbs, what was Roe. Are women dying everywhere? We do have a chapter that's entitled Where Are All the Dead Women At? No one's died from lack of access to abortion since the overturning of Roe, because abortion's not legitimate healthcare. It is an elective surgery that is never medically necessary. And current and former abortion doctors will tell you that. Planned Parenthood and politicians won't. And so it's a useful tool. It tells you exactly what to say. You can go through to whatever chapter applies to you and get all the resources. Those are very, very well researched.
Heather, all right, we're not going to get a national abortion ban. That's just not something that's going to happen. But really the challenge is to change hearts. It's to change the culture of this country that's been poisoned for the last half century. How do we do that?
Absolutely. I think we have to continue to speak the truth, to educate people, to pull the curtain off of abortion is. People are still in denial. It's clear that this administration is in denial, the current administration and the vice president, the current nominee for the Democratic Party. There are many elitists that are in denial about this. And to continue to deny that abortions never happen in the last stage of pregnancy, they know better than that. There are multiple very infamous abortion doctors who are very much out there about doing these. All the abortion facilities know who to call if there's a late-term abortion that's requested because it's never medically necessary, as Sean said. And they are all friends with them. They know better. They're lying about this. And I don't know why, because if abortion is something that's so great and to celebrate, why deny that these late-term abortions are happening in places like Boulder, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico, in New York, in other states? There are plenty of places where these are happening. We've got to continue to tell people, because I think the general public just is not aware. Most people think that this just can't happen because it's too gruesome, and there's no way that anybody could be so barbaric that they would advocate for this. But that's exactly what they're advocating for. So we've got to continue to educate people and also let them know that there are across the country over 4,000 pregnancy resource centers that are free and reduced costs for women, that many of them are full-time clinics that have full-time doctors that will do women's health care. They will do women's exams, prenatal care. There are lots of resources available, but they're not on the side of the media, and therefore they're not being advertised. So we've got to be the voice for the voiceless and get the information about there, about all the amazing resources that are available to women and families.
Sean, the FACE Act, a lot of people forget that this has all been a response to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. Roe versus Wade got overturned. The demons in our government threw a hissy fit about it and used the FACE Act to throw a bunch of pro-life activists in federal prison. Do I have that about right?
Yeah, that's about right. The FACE Act is from the Clinton administration. It was never enforced since the 90s. It was basically to target the rescuers back in the 90s, and it killed effort. And so it just kind of went away. And the federal government under Biden dusted it off and started prosecuting people. And we had a volunteer unjustly had his home raided by the FBI and was acquitted by a jury in Philadelphia in less than an hour. And he handed the FBI a much deserved and embarrassing victory. And that is what has happened. And now Mark Houck, that volunteer, is suing the DOJ, and rightly so, for damages. But this was something that nobody ever enforced. It was never violated. And the Fed certainly never enforced it. And now the Biden administration and Merrick Garland and the DOJ has been doing it and targeting pro-lifers, targeting Catholics. We saw that leaked from the DOJ, targeting Christians. And I wish that would have come up. There were a lot of opportunities that President Trump blew the other night. I think everybody knows that. But one of them was just to ask her, you know, what we had Obama, we had Bush, we had Clinton. I don't remember a time when Americans, because they held different political or religious beliefs than their president, feared their own government, feared their own DOJ. We've never had it at this level before. And that was created by Biden and Harris. And it's really, really shameful. And it makes people, there's already a huge mistrust of law enforcement in our country, unfortunately. And the FBI has just taken it to a whole new level because Americans fear them. They fear that they're spying on them. They fear that they're going to show up at their house. And you know, raid their home, and it's happened. And so, you know, I think that it's something that, yes, this election certainly is about abortion. It's about the future of our country. It's about the economy. It's about all the issues that everyone cares about. It's also a free speech election, a big time. And I think most Americans, conservative or liberal, realize that.
Yeah, I think you're right. John, Heather, thank you. I appreciate it. All right. There wasn't a lot of culture war stuff during the debate. Men and women's sports stuff, things like that. Did you notice that? May Mailman noticed that. She's going to join us next to talk about that. Before we talk to May, I want to talk about Pure Talk. Yeah, I want to talk about Pure Talk, my cell phone company. I don't own it, but I love them. It's the one we use. When I switched from T-Mobile to Pure Talk, my bill got cut in half. In half. We pay half. We have four lines. We pay half of what we were paying with T-Mobile. I didn't sacrifice coverage. I didn't sacrifice data. I have everything I need. I have international roaming. You can keep your phone. Keep your phone number. Switch to Pure Talk so you can stop paying people who hate your guts. PureTalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Now she wants to do transgender operations on illegal aliens that are in prison. This is a radical left liberal.
Flashback.
I worked behind the scenes to not only make sure that that transgender woman got the services she was deserving. So it wasn't only about that case. I made sure that they changed the policy in the state of California so that every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access to the medical care that they desired and need.
We really are broken. Gosh, we're paying to chop off prisoners' penises. Joining me now, May Mailman, director of Independent Women's Law Center. May, beyond the fact that Kamala Harris is a moron and these things are all demonic and horrible, have we just completely lost our minds? This is so beyond embarrassing.
Yeah, this is why a bunch of liberal outlets, or, you know, I don't want to say liberal outlets, mainstream outlets, said that this wasn't true because it's so crazy. Even when CNN was reporting on this story, they said, no, this couldn't possibly be the case. Any normal person knows that this is wild. Of course, it is true. They all had to fact check themselves, you know, several days later in very fine print at the very bottom in a story that no one will read. But we're basically being lied to. This person is the most radical person to ever run for president, and yet she doesn't have to answer for it because the mainstream media just, they refuse to believe what they hear.
No, they do, and they outright lie sometimes, too. Sometimes, May, I'll be honest, I struggle with how nefarious or just completely broken and warped and cult-like they are. Like the moderators when they jumped in on all that stuff. Did they know and lie? Or are these people in such a despicable commie bubble? They just don't know.
I think they know and they lied because this is any basic amount of journalism, you would have to know that this is the case. And this is what's so offensive about her saying that she's a border security, that when she was attorney general, she was going to prosecute all these gangs coming across the border. No, you're not. What you want to do is you want to give illegal aliens free transgender surgery. You want mentally unstable people to come by the millions, by the billions, honestly. If we're talking about the nation's poor, and if we have no southern border, who wouldn't want to come into this country to get free healthcare and free plastic surgery, right? This is beyond crazy, and yet she said it. And so if the mainstream media won't report on it, I don't think it's incompetent. It's usually incompetence, Jesse. I always ascribe incompetence as the answer. But I think that this would be so incompetent that it's got to be nefarious.
See, this is why you're a nicer person than me, Mayo, because I always assume they're lying. They're lying, man. These people are filthy liars all the time. I just have to assume that. All right, speaking of filthy liars, May, why didn't we hear about men and women's sports? That's a big thing. It's been a political hot topic now since dudes have been spiking volleyballs off of women's faces in this country, and yet it somehow didn't come up during the debate.
Right. This is obviously a huge issue, if not one of the biggest issues in the country right now, because the Biden-Harris administration has created a rule that in every single school that accepts a single federal dollar, men have to be in women's bathrooms and locker rooms. They have to take women's scholarships. They have to take women's sports is the Biden-Harris position. This affects everyone. This affects everyone. And yet not a single question on it is not part of the mainstream conversation. Why? Because the point of the debate is to avoid a viral moment. People do watch the debate while they're trying to put their kids to bed, while they're, you know, on their laptops, while they're texting. They sort of pay attention, but the internet lives forever. And so really the point of the debate is don't give the other side a viral clip. And it is 100% certain that if they would have asked about men and women's sports, that Kamala would have said something that went viral. And so this is again, the ABC moderators saying we cannot cover something that could potentially make Kamala Harris look bad, even though this is a very, very consequential issue that 70% of Americans agree with President Trump and not Kamala Harris.
May, what's Title IX and what's the Biden-Harris administration doing about it? When we bring up things like this, when you're trying to explain it to, you know, my normie neighbors, they don't know what Title IX is. It sounds like fancy lawyer stuff that you would talk about. I'm an idiot. I don't understand these things. What is it?
Yeah, so Title IX is a 1972 law. So back in the day, women didn't have equal rights in education. They couldn't have certain majors. They had curfews when they went to campus, and there were very few athletic opportunities. You wonder why everyone's parent, if they played any sports, the mom, it was usually field hockey, because that's what there was. So what Title IX said is that, hey, we're going to give women equal opportunity in educational settings, right? Let them be doctors, let them be lawyers, you know, make sure that if you have a men's bathroom, you're going to have a women's bathroom. If you're going to have sports for men, then you're going to have sports for women. And it's been very, very consequential. So at least at the high school level, pre-Title IX, 350,000 girls participate in sports. Now that's more than 3.5 million. So, this has exploded opportunities for women. Now, the problem is the Biden administration says, oh, don't discriminate on the basis of sex. That's what the law says. We're going to say that means don't discriminate on the basis of gender identity. Okay, so what does that mean? That means you have to treat people in accordance with their gender identity. That means any male who wants to say that he is a female has to be treated as such in any educational program. So in school, you can imagine it. And like, I guess I say man and woman as if that's going to be the end of this. If you have to treat people in accordance with their gender identity, this is just as crazy as it sounds. I mean, my real question to the Biden administration is, if there is a young person who says that he or she is a cat, that's their gender identity, then does that person have to be provided a litter box? These are questions that I know that the Biden administration knows are real. They refuse to give guidance on it because they will not define gender identity. And there are more than 100 gender identities, Jesse. You can identify as whatever you feel like.
So
this Title IX is happening in every school across the country, except for the schools that are in awesome states where you have groups like Independent Women's Forum suing the Biden administration. And so in 26 states now, this rule has been paused. But even in some of those schools where the rule has been paused, I know of school administration officials who are doing it anyway. So we are, we're going to continue to sue until this gender ideology is not mandated by federal law in school.
Gosh. So Title IX is the reason we have the WNBA?
So the WNBA exists because of Caitlin Clark, Jesse. But if it didn't, I don't think that women play sports to be professional athletes. Women play sports to learn the same leadership qualities that men and women, that everybody needs. So if you look at C-suite females, 94% of them played sports. Why? The same reason that, the values that you get from sports. You learn how to work as a team. You learn how to lose and recover from loss. You learn how to practice to get good at what you're doing. You become less fat. I mean, you become a healthier person. You become a harder worker. You, like, all of these benefits for sports, I don't think, I agree. Like, maybe there aren't many opportunities for women to be professional athletes. And maybe there are, and we can talk about that. That's a totally separate conversation. But access to athletics has to do with self-esteem. It has to do with being treated as equal in school. And it really, I think, doesn't have to do with sort of whether the WNBA would exist without Caitlin Clark shouldering it.
No, it really is healthy for women. My wife was a gymnast at the University of Arizona, and all her friends are so successful. Like you said, they learn hard work. They learn all that stuff. Plus, I really enjoyed watching her do gymnastics. All right, censorship. You know a little something about this, don't you? Censorship, Zuckerberg, the social media world, don't you?
Yes. So this is crazy, and it's even crazier that it's under the radar. So thanks for bringing this up, Jesse. But Meta, which runs Facebook and Instagram, is considering banning videos that show men in women's sports and men in women's spaces. I am not kidding. Ah. Meta has an oversight board, and they've gotten a few flags that a couple of videos are mean to what they saw called trans people, but I'm going to call them men because they're men, right? So that they're mean to men. And so they're wondering whether that's bullying, harassment. If you show a man winning a women's track competition and people booing, which that happens, is that bullying and harassment? No, that's not bullying and harassment. That is a man winning a women's sports competition and people are rightly upset about it. So today is the last day to submit comments to the Meta Oversight Board and say, do not remove these videos. This is not bullying. This is rightly calling out men in women's spaces. But Jesse, right before the election, this type of commentary might be banned on Facebook and Instagram. Wild.
Yeah, it is crazy, the timing of all this, isn't it? May, you were awesome. You come back and join me anytime. I enjoyed that a great deal. That was awesome. All right. We have Light in the Mood. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And Kamala Harris is hurting in Pennsylvania. She was, look, a California/Canadian far-left nutball is always going to have a hard time resonating in a place like Pennsylvania. So what are they doing? Believe it or not, they're dragging poor old Joe Biden off the beach, and they're trying to get him into Pennsylvania to campaign on behalf of Kamala Harris. And Joe got with a bunch of firefighters, and it didn't go that great.
You know, he reminds me of the guys I grew up with. There was always one in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one.
There you go, man. I need that hat.
You want my autograph?
Hell no.
You know my name. Come on.
I ain't going that far.
Yeah. You can't even do a selfie. There he goes.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.